Hello, everybody, and welcome to our Body Balance October 2020 call. Good to see you guys here, and I'm here to support you however you need supporting. And like usual, I always like to start with just one round of quick yay celebrations, something that, whether it's related to your health or your life or whatever, just to start on an up tone, and then we'll go around and talk to you about what you need support with. So Lynn, you're in the first upper corner of my box. So Lynn, tell me more.
That's what happens when I get here early.
That's what happens. You're up there first.
The weather here is fabulous. We have finished part of our construction.
Yay. The roof thing and all that.
Well, part of the roof. There's more.
Just more.
But one section is done and we can delay some of the rest. We think. We don't know. We have to have another inspection.
Good. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm having a fabulous autumn. It finally cooled off here. And I know you don't like the cool weather, but I love it.
It's cool down here too. It's only going to be in the high 80s today. So.
Oh no, we're going to, well, yeah, it was
in the 90s.
It was 51 when I got up this morning, but I actually like the cool mornings and evenings and the warm days.
Yeah. I don't mind cool mornings as long as I don't have to wear a heavy blanket. So, all right. Yeah. Well, thank you. I'll ask Vanessa. You just went off screen. Are you there, Vanessa? There we are.
I was trying to see what the temperature was here. Yeah, it's a beautiful day here too. I am sitting outside because I'm normally all in my office all day.
Oh, it's beautiful
there. and I'm celebrating that I've been doing green smoothies this week. Here's my green smoothie.
Yay! How are they doing? Did you find one?
One of the first ones I made, I threw in a whole can of coconut milk, and then I put it in my chronometer, and I'm like, oh, that can was like 580 calories. So I'm happy I found a version like with just adding water that's good. But yeah, I was like, oh, whoops.
Yeah, that's funny because my husband makes curries with the cans of coconut. And he uses like a can and a half or two cans or something. And I'm like, and I'm just eating away at like eating this thing and this curry. And I realized that is not a one serving curry. Or two serving, right? Him and me.
Yeah.
That is not a two serving curry. That's like a six people curry. Yeah, it's easy for that to sneak up on you.
I was like, oh, I guess I better do almond milk. And then I've discovered the water and it's fine. So.
Yeah. Or just a little coconut. You know what I'll do is I'll just take out of the coconut cream jar, you know, the artisan, just like a tablespoon of that to put in there to thicken it up and give it the coconut.
Yeah. Although I do like putting my chia seeds in coconut milk. I don't know what you recommend soaking them in water.
You can do however you want. You can soak it in water, nut milk, juice, whatever. It's really nice soaked in coconut milk, but
it is really nice in coconut milk.
It's very nice actually. Macadamia milk, but that's no better. Very heavy duty, and sometimes I'll just make a macadamia milk and do it that way. But yeah, I did something similar last night in that I finished my dinner. It was a big salad. I was like, I'm starving. I am still hungry. I need something. So I decided to make my chocolate ice cream thing. And I put a handful of macadamia nuts, some hemp seeds, and zucchini and all that. And it was heavy. Was like, wow. And I thought, I'll just eat half of this and I'll have the rest tomorrow and eat the whole thing. And it was like, I went to bed so full. I woke up in the morning so full that I'm like, no, I'm not doing that again. But you don't realize that I haven't even done it in chronometer because I don't even want to know that I just spent 1,000 calories worth of ice cream for dessert. Like, no, I don't think I want to know that. Awesome. So Sharon.
Oopsie. Are you able to come back to me? I'm not quite ready. I'm still doing my hair.
That's fine. Hedy.
Hi.
Hi.
My goal is green smoothies. So I've been drinking them more, and I'm a coffee drinker. So I'm happy to say I cut back on coffee, and it actually is getting to taste horrible to me. And I'm drinking the morning water, which I find is more of a difficult for me to wake up and the first thing is to try to drink some water, but I'm up to 8 ounces, not 16. So they're my big goals.
That's great. And you're small, so your 8 ounces is not, you know, 16 might be a little much. So, you know, if you weigh 200 or more pounds, 16 ounces is really required, but you're little. So yeah, good for you. Congratulations.
Thank you. And I'm 32 ounces on the green smoothie. So I'm trying to work up to.
Whoa.
But I was adding half green smoothies and half fruit. So I'm really cutting back on the fruit.
Awesome.
So that's a big goal.
Great. Have you been testing your blood sugar to see how it does with that? No.
I'm a wuss.
You're a wuss. A lot of people are wusses until they get
it. I have to work my way up. I have somebody else do it for me.
Have somebody else do it for you.
Yeah.
You'll get there. You'll get there because when you see how great the information is and how it helps you so much, then you're there. Thank you. That's great. CJ.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
I didn't get in on the first question.
We're just going around for a celebration or, you know, a gratitude or something positive to start our call off.
Well, we've bumped up our PM eating to 7:30, and it's still very hard to do that. We live out in the country and my husband works outside till dark. So that's a major accomplishment, just eating by 7:30.
And what time do you go to bed then? So,
well, last night I fell asleep at 9:30.
Okay, a little close.
So I don't know
for if you I, on that.
I know. I'm going to have to run laps or something to keep myself awake that extra hour, I guess.
Well, you know, it's all these trade-offs as you're shifting, right? So you're going to bed early, which is great, gives you more time to sleep, and you got it back to 7:30, and you can get it back a little bit earlier, and you're working on it, right? We're all a work in progress. That's really what we are. We're all works in progress. Okay. Thank you, CJ. Mary. Are you unmuted? I can't unmute you guys anymore. They don't let, you're unmuted. So, but we're not hearing you. So you might have something wrong with your mic.
You can't hear me now.
No. Yeah.
Okay. No, that's good. So, I'm doing really good at stress control. Mm-hmm. I've been attending the trans energy healing.
Yeah,
in the meditations and those practices, they have exercises to move your energy, open up your energy channels. So that's been really effective for me.
Awesome. Congratulations. Good job.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, Sharon, are you ready for us now?
I am.
Okay, good.
I have to sort of watch where I sit here. I've got dueling lawnmowers outside.
Oh, no.
My success is maybe a month or so back. I talked to you about these lumps that I get on my two joints in my finger. Mm-hmm. And I think it's my understanding that it's fluid that secretes from the joint when you have arthritis in there. Mm-hmm. And you suggested getting the ultrasound.
Yes.
And so I did. And it works quite well on it.
Yay! Yeah. Love that ultrasound thing. I should get some kind of affiliate commission on all of the ones I get people to buy. But they work so, so well. I'm so happy. Yay!
Could you just tell me a bit more, maybe after, or am I the last person now?
You're the last one. You mean about how it works?
And what circumstances to use it under?
Yeah, so inflammation, so any kind of joint inflammation like what you had. So, you know, if you're people bang up their wrist or their ankle or their knees or shoulders, like, you know, the frozen shoulder thing really helps with that. I use it personally, you know, when I'm working with people on their spine, but I don't recommend people do that themselves because there's precautions you should be taking when you do it over the spine. But any area that's inflamed, My son had broken ribs, and there's actually some studies that show that it helps to accelerate the healing of broken ribs. Again, because of the delicate area, I recommend people do that with a practitioner. Don't do it on yourself, but there's all sorts of things. And broken bones, like, so if it's a foot, right? A lot of people break metatarsals, and it's like, you know, you're not going to go get casted and all this, but you want to accelerate the healing, and you can do the, there's a setting on your unit. Hopefully, I don't know if it's on all the less expensive units, but there's pulsed versus continuous. And you do this continuous ultrasound at a certain frequency, and it helps with bone healing if you have a broken bone. So lots and lots of areas. Yeah.
So it'll help my shoulder when it fell off about a week ago.
It might be, if you fell on it, sooner rather than later is good, but make sure that you reach it properly. You know, the thing to be careful whenever you do self ultrasound is don't stop and hold it over an area, because it can burn the periosteum, the outer part of the bone, and it'll hurt a lot. So you just want to keep it moving and make sure that there's plenty of gel. If the gel dries up, turn the machine off, regel, and then start it again. Because if it doesn't have the gel to go through and you slow it down, it can hurt. It'll burn.
Okay.
Great.
Good. Awesome. And you were talking about green smoothies. So yeah. I've been with you for 2 years now, almost two. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing my green smoothie every morning.
Hey, That's great. It's a great habit to be in, because, you know, when I don't, like if we're out of stuff, or I feel like I just can't get it. How do you get enough greens in you? How do you get all that nutrition? It's like, where's all my nutrition? I didn't drink my green smoothie, because it's hard to eat all that, right? You're chomping away. Your jaw starts to hurt after a while, and you're trying to get all your greens in. So it's a great way to do it.
Well, I'm up at 5:30 and I take my Synthroid right away. Mm-hmm. And then I walk at 7. And because of the adrenals, you recommend having something within an hour of getting up. So that's just perfect. And then when I get back from my walk, I have my breakfast.
And you have your breakfast. Perfect.
Yeah. But 6:30 is too early to eat breakfast.
Yeah, it's too early to eat anything. Yeah. It's too early to get up in my world. But that's
easy. Oh, I would be so happy if I slept later, but if I sleep till 5:30, I'm happy. But, you know, lots of mornings it's before that.
Wow. Well, that's still the work we have to work on. All right. So we'll go around, and anybody who has stuff you want to work on, I mean, we can go around in the same order, and we'll see what you have. And if you don't have anything, then that's fine. You just listen in. So Lynn, what's up with you? How can I support you?
I had something right on the tip of my tongue. You said my name.
And now it's gone.
Yeah, it's gone. Come back to me. Okay. It'll come.
Vanessa.
So I've been working with my fitness trainer, which I think I've told you about, where I have daily accountability.
Yeah.
And he's been looking at my chronometer, but he hasn't really been commenting, because he knows that I'm working underneath your plan. And then he's like, can you just ask about this? Because I don't know what to keep you accountable to, other than, like, I've told him, you know, no gluten, no dairy, no sugar, and spreading out my meals 6 hours apart and doing intermittent fasting my body does well with. But he's like, your calories will go all over the place. Like, I can have days that are like 600 calorie days and then go up to, whenever I did it with Lisa, she's told me to choose the keto meal plan, which puts me at about 1200 calories and like 20 grams of carbs, which I assume is net carbs, or is it all
20 carbs? Would not be net carbs. That would be total carbs.
So total carbs, yeah. 20 grams.
Okay. But you know, here's the thing. Here's my feeling about those plans, right? You have to find what works for you. So if I don't really like those layouts, I usually override them. So you have to set up your chronometer appointment with me, right? That's part of your Gold Plus, okay? So it's on, if you go on to the ERC site and it says coaching, you should see Gold Plus. Click there and there's a link to my calendar for your chronometer thing. And we'll set your goals together. I don't like using any of the it doesn't work for, you know, let's see what works for you. I can have a day where I have 150 net carbs. Well, not 150 net carbs, 150 carbs. It may only be like 50 net carbs, right? But I'm fine with that because it's from vegetables, it's from broccoli, it's from greens. Mm-hmm. If you artificially limit your number of carbs, when we're talking the kind of carbs you eat, which is not carbs that are, you know, high glycemic, then you can limit the amount of good food you eat. You could probably put your green smoothie in there and it'll exceed 20 net carbs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I think it put me, well, yesterday I was at 20 net carbs, but like, I don't know, 35, 36 total carbs.
Yeah. So I think I just said that backwards. So the 20 would be net, right? And the total would be 20 high.
Is yeah. Net.
Yeah, 20 okay. would be net. But yeah, I see people do great with 50 net carbs, 50 okay. to 75. It just depends on what they are.
And you don't care, because I told them, I go, I've never heard her ever say anything about calories. And he goes, your body doesn't know what to do because it's like all over the place. And I said, well, if I'm fasting, then it is going to be lower. And he's like, well, how many days are you supposed to be fasting? When do you do this or do that? And I said, well, I think it's just like I'm supposed to increase the amount. And so anyway, I just want to get clear on like,
yeah, what let's get is clear on that. Plan for my- mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's the idea of keeping the body guessing is actually good. Because if you consistently
that's
eat 600 calories
said.
A day, yeah. your body's going to go 600 calories a day. So it'll slow down. So that's all you burn, right? And somebody was eating 600 calories a day for years, and she had, you know, she was over 200 pounds and had weight to lose, but nothing was budging. I had her add 300 extra calories a day in like coconut and fat type things. She started losing weight. Mm. Well, not immediately, but you know, after like 4, 5, 6 days, because the body goes, oh, I got extra, right? Because 600 calorie a day burn is like, you can be exhausted, but not just maybe externally exhausted, but metabolically exhausted. So sluggish mm-hmm. digestion, sluggish brain function, sluggish cardiac function, right? So we have to find that right amount. So some days are 600 and other days are 1400 and you're consistently dropping weight, then that's good. Right. Mm-hmm. So I don't like using those built people ask me about that all the time. I don't like using those built in things on the chronometer. I usually like to go, okay, what do we really want to control? You know, you're whatever, 5'5", 5'6", something like
no,
that.
No, I'm 5'9".
5'9". So your protein, right? Maybe your protein needs are from 70 to 90 or something like that. That's something that I want you to get because that's what your body structurally needs to rebuild the muscles, the tissue, et cetera. So that's what you need. And then the other, I want to set it to zero added sugars. I want to, you know what I mean? So we set these numbers. So the carbs and the fats are fluctuating based on what your body does best with. And that's where the experimentation comes in.
Okay.
Right. And you're like, you know, I feed somebody who started a program. This was ages ago. And she says, I'm eating like 2 or 3 avocados a day. She said, is that a problem? I said, well, let's see what it goes in a week. She goes, I lost 4 pounds this week on eating 2 to 3, 4 avocados in a day, right? Because she wasn't eating, it was replacing the rice and the bread and the, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So we just have to find what's perfect for you and what keeps you in a good metabolic range. And it is going to be different. If you're intermittent fasting, like you were doing a 36 hour and then you were going back to a 16 hour, if you're doing that, it's going to be different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Set up that time. Yeah. We'll get it all worked out.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome. All right. Who's next? Hedy?
Hi. I don't care.
Oh,
you're
stay close to your computer because I'm hearing you go blah, blah.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I don't count calories, but after listening to this conversation, are we supposed to have certain amount of carbs, certain amount of protein, certain amount of fats, or no?
You are. You're going to find out what that is for you.
Okay.
I'm going to give you guys an example. Two of the same kind of example. We had somebody who's one of our coaches, and she started the Sweet Spot, and it was great for her, and she's, you know, low in the carbs, and she's losing weight, and everything's great. Her blood sugar is getting balanced. Her husband, who has a tendency to insulin resistance, has higher. He says, oh, she says, do this with me. He does it. It's worse, right? It's like without the fruits and without the whole grains, his sugars got worse. So he said, well, I'm going to do, you know, I'm going to do a plant-based. He wanted to do plant-based. He said, I'm going to do plant-based, but I'm going to include my, you know, my fruits, low glycemic fruits. He wasn't going crazy and eating 4 pineapples a day. You know what I mean? But he was adding the fruits and he added back quinoa and brown rice. He got results, right? Whereas if she went and put the brown rice and quinoa in, her sugars were going up and her weight was going up. So we have to figure it out for ourselves.
Okay.
Another example was another one of our practitioners, and she was wanting to be perfectly, she's an optometrist and she's wanting to be perfect. She sees a lot of people with problems in their eyes related to blood sugar. So she's like really being careful with herself, following Sweet Spot exactly, and did really well at the beginning, but then plateaued and she couldn't get past it. And she increased the carbs. She started to eat some fruit. She started to eat some quinoa. And now she's, and cut out all the oil, which I always recommend anyway. She cut out all the oil and lowered the fat. And she did beautifully, right? So we're going to experiment and figure out what is the exact right way that you should be eating. It's going to vary based on season, based on, you know, your stress levels and all that. But cookies don't fall into it. You know what I mean? Like breads don't fall into anybody's.
Yeah, no. Right? Yeah, I eliminated dairy and flour and sugars many, many years ago. And I feel a lot better after doing so pain-wise with arthritis. Yeah. My other question is this. My cortisol is low and my estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone's low, but I'm wondering, should I add an adaptogen or anything right now, or should I just wait with...
Have you gone through that with your coach? Who's your coach?
Isabel. I sent her a note. We didn't get that far yet.
Yeah, so yeah, just a general adaptogen could be very helpful, right? And she can help you to tailor it. So, do you also have any thyroid issues?
That was my next question, because after listening to you talk about the Dutch test, I went back and looked at mine, and you brought that up, and I said, you know something, wow, I'm beginning to think maybe that's also there.
Yeah.
But so, I didn't have that tested yet.
Okay, so we're set. We're doing the whole, like, the two-day version of the lab retreat in early December for ERC.
Okay.
And so we're going to be sending out an email either tomorrow or Monday that's going to tell you, look back at whatever your recent labs are and make sure you have some of this other stuff, and it'll show a complete thyroid. So if you have thyroid issues, the reason I asked is because ashwagandha tends to be a really nice adaptogen for people who have both adrenal and thyroid issues, because it helps the body to make more thyroid hormone. It makes it
okay.
Okay, so that could be good. The other thing I like, I can't remember if you have lung things. Do you have lung issues? No, I'm thinking of somebody else.
No, you're thinking of me, because I had an x-ray and they said I only have 80% of my lungs, 20% scar tissue from the past. I had pneumonia when I was younger.
Okay. So the thing that I really love for adaptogen, for endurance, but also it's really good for lung capacity, is cordyceps.
Okay.
Cordyceps extract powder. Z Natural Foods has one. That's the one I use. And you can make yourself an elixir. So if you go onto the site on where would you find it? On the nutrition page. So you go in on the nutrition page, you'll see a place where it says elixirs, how to make elixirs. And what I have in there is a chart. And the chart is lungs, gut, all these different pieces. And what herbs you might want to play with. So I give a base recipe for an elixir. And then you have the different herbs that you can play around with. So if you have adrenal stuff, but you also have lung stuff, but you also have, you can pick 2 or 3 or 4 herbs. I usually try them one at a time. So make an elixir with one of them, then add the second one, third one. But you can create like the one elixir that works like phenomenally for you.
Okay.
Or that you alternated.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right. Mary.
I don't have anything that I want to address. I really need to jump into the program and start it. I haven't done that yet. So,
all right. So your body balance, did you upgrade into the what do you call it? The empowered self-care? Good.
Yes.
Perfect. We're going to just keep you guys empowered. We're going to do a lot more interaction with you guys. We're going to be doing a lot more live stuff because that's what we find is that people, if you don't jump right in, if we don't like give you a nudge that you could, you don't jump right in, and we want more of you to jump in.
I know.
Okay. Good, 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 good. Okay. Who's next? Who did I say? Oh, Lynn, are you ready or should we keep moving around and come back?
No, I actually had something written down and couldn't find it. This is how bad the brain fog is, but it's getting better. That is good news. It's getting a little better.
And I'm gonna invite you. I've invited you to do this before, right? Is we push ourselves towards what we talk about most,
mm-hmm.
right? And so if I say, oh, my brain fog, my brain fog, my brain fog, you start to own your brain fog, mm-hmm. and you don't really, you're attached to it because it gives you a good reason for, no, yeah, but you might have some subtle subconscious. It gets you out of this or it gets you out of that. Or so just when you speak about it, I love how you reframed it right away. You said, but it's getting better.
Yeah.
Right? But you mentioned it. You said, that's how bad my brain fog is.
Well, yeah, because it's kind of front and center when you're having a conversation, you lose your train of thought.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But okay. I'm reframing it to your brain fog's getting better.
Yes. So
I love that you did that.
I have an aura. Mm-hmm. And other good news, I have found a doctor. He's a family practitioner. He is not far out of school. He's doing contract. He's a DO. He's doing like a monthly fee of $80 a month. I can cancel at any time to start his practice with his wife. They're both DOs.
Oh, nice.
And he's very excited about the aura. So he's excited about some of these things I'm doing, which awesome. I'm excited about.
Awesome.
I noticed that you were talking, my heart rate does not drop until probably 5 hours after I've been asleep, 4 or 5 hours. And then I can even wake up sometimes. If I have insomnia, it's waking up. And that's since I'm postmenopausal. It's not all the time. Mm-hmm. And then if I go back to sleep, I will have my lowest resting heart rate.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And if I eat at like 4 o'clock and go to sleep at 10 o'clock, that's better. But there must be something seriously wrong with my digestion.
Mm-hmm.
If it's taking me 6 hours to digest what is essentially vegan food, it's not like it's a heavy meal. It's not like there's alcohol, which is what the aura keeps telling me.
Right.
Essentially, it keeps telling me to stop drinking and I'm not.
I already stopped.
It's not helpful. So what does that mean?
So it's putting a stress on your system, right?
Well, is it just that, or can it be hormones, or
it could be a lot of things, but there's something in the evening. Do you watch the news at night?
I don't watch the news anymore.
Good. Because I mean, that could do it.
Do you?
Well, you know, I've never watched the news. And then I started to like, I would always be upstairs in my office
right.
and stuff because my husband's downstairs watching the news and I didn't want to do it. And then I started to like, okay, I can tune it out and I'll go downstairs with him and I'll sit on my computer and do stuff and he's watching. But it's there. And I find myself going, what? Wait a minute.
No.
Why didn't I tell anybody to stop eating crap and eat good stuff? That's what people need. Well, you know, so it does. It gets me a little agitated in the evening. So it's really important that, you know, you keep yourself calm. One of the things that one of my colleagues, he's a DO, and he does a lot of heart math, and he does the aura too. And he found that if he does like a heart math, like a heart lock-in is best because that's like a 15-minute heart math. But even if you just do a few minutes of really focused heart math before going to bed, his heart rate variability is better, right?
My variability is good. My variability is good. It's the resting heart rate. And the aura keeps telling me it's food and alcohol, but that's not
what it. What's the range of your resting heart rate? What's the high point, low point?
69 to 90.
Oh, 90's high.
Yeah, for no ridiculous reason that I can figure out.
Do you test your blood sugar before you go to bed?
No, but I could do that.
check your blood sugar to see. It may be something that, you know, and it's because it's not happening if you eat earlier.
Right.
If it was blood sugar, then boom, it's back down. And see if you see a correlation with your blood sugar when you go to sleep and how late your heart rate comes down.
Okay. And I've discovered that if I go to bed at 9 or 9:30, I wake up, like wide awake. If I go to bed at a 2 or 3.
Okay.
So and sometimes I'm wide awake. Okay. And I started going to bed the last 3 nights about 11 o'clock and mm-hmm. I slept a solid 7 hours. I woke up, but I could stay in bed and rest and doze and go back to sleep. And all of my restfulness score and my sleep scores were higher, which is weird.
We all have to find our rhythm, right?
Ah,
we have to find our rhythm. And you know, if you want to, if your sleep cycle where you sleep the best is between say 11 and 6, and you really want to go to bed at 9 for whatever reason, then you just have to gently move it back by 15 minutes every few days. Move it back by 15 minutes and just find your sweet spot when it comes to your bedtime, the same way you would do it for your blood sugar.
Okay. I did read an article about resetting your circadian rhythm, and it actually recommended getting up at the same time every day. It may have been on the Oura website instead of moving it back intentionally, making sure you got up at the same time every day. And then when you got up earlier, you would be tired, or I guess, is that what are your thoughts?
Yeah. I think that's the part to not there is to, if you, cause usually we have to get up at a certain time to whatever do. Yeah. Like. So you set that, but also if you get up and go outside within, you know, the first hour or so of being awake and you look towards the sun, even if it's not a sunny day, as long as the sun's risen, right? But it doesn't have to be a sunny day, but you look there and you let the sun bathe your eyes. You do it with your eyes closed. Obviously at that hour of morning, it's not going to be high enough to get a sunburn and hurt your eyes, right? So you basically do that, and that helps to reset the circadian rhythm.
Is full infrared, we have a sauna that's a red infrared lights.
It's not the same.
Even though it's full spectrum.
Yeah, it's not really going to do the same. Okay. Yeah. But going outside at least before noon, but what that helps is to bring the melatonin down then so that it will raise later in the evening when it's supposed to. But it also helps with cortisol. We do that. I talk to people a lot with that to help to set that. Okay, now it's light. Time to get your cortisol up. You know, so people who have problems with getting the cortisol to raise in the morning, that works really well.
Self-empowered self-care. ESC? Is that ESC?
I haven't come up with that. It's too confusing. So it's empowered. It's the empowered lab.
It starts. It starts October to October, right?
We moved everybody out to November, so it'll be November. If you signed up for a year, it'll go through next November 1st. Because we had a few things that weren't ready the first few days of October, and I said just give them extra time. So it'll be November till November.
And you're going to redo that office call that a lot of us couldn't connect to.
I already did. Monday, you didn't get
I did not.
You didn't get the email?
I've been checking the emails religiously because I knew they were going to reschedule it. I did not.
Oh, no. Yeah, we did it on Monday. Mm. Well, you're here now. So anything you wanted to ask on that office call, you can ask here because we have a very small turnout today. So, yeah, we did it on Monday.
Yeah. So we determine our ratio of carbs, proteins, and sugars, basically the sweet spot program.
Yeah. And if you, well, stay in the sweet spot, which you now have access to it, but because of being empowered. So the stay in the sweet spot, the first couple of weeks was all about helping you to figure out your correct setup for that.
Oh, so I can do that now?
Yeah, you can do that now. We're going to be setting it up so that there's like an activation button. We're working on that for each and whatever program you want to get into. There's an activation button and then it'll trigger the weekly, content to be dripped out. But yeah, the stay in your sweet spot will, it's there. And so you can get into all that content.
Okay. And you mentioned a nutrition page a few minutes ago talking about the elixir.
Yes. So
is that the nutrigenomics?
No, that's different. It's if you go into empowered self-care, actually, yes, yeah. So you go into empowered self-care, then you, I'm gonna organize it a little better so it's real obvious, but if you go down to where the pillars are, the fifth pillar is diet. That opens up, it's almost like going through the in Alice in Wonderland and you open up a door into a whole new world. That's what that is. It's not like just
go to the freedom pillars.
Yeah, go to the freedom pillars. The fifth one is the diet one. And diet, that will take
not
you.
Not nutrition. Yeah. Okay.
It says diet and then it says Body Freedom Nutrition Lab. So we just offered that as a separate program, but Empowered Self-Care gets it all. You get the whole thing. And ERC gets all of that and, you know, all the private coaching and everything.
I see diet.
Yeah, you see it. So click that. And then that it has every diet resource I've ever created. We're going to be doing an orientation kind of kickoff call next Wednesday. So keep your eyes on your inbox because, you know, there have been a lot of questions and it's a membership, right? So it's something that's going to be evolving. There'll be new stuff added as we find ways to reorganize it and that to make it easier for you to access. You will.
It's actually listed under programs, right under Body Freedom Nutrition Lab is listed right under Empowered Self Care Lab. Online.
Perfect. Yeah, you can get directly there then.
Yeah, it would be a little bit easier.
It'll be easier to get there like that. Yeah.
And is Vital included in?
Vital has been swallowed up by all of it. So yes, everything from Vital is all included.
Because I was paid through next year.
Well, you'll get credit towards whatever, you know, an extension on your Empowered. So no worries. Well, we've got all that handled. We've gone through every iteration and every, right? And anybody that was in Vital and paid through a certain time will be sending out a message to say, here's what we're doing for you.
Oh, great.
Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah. We're trying to simplify our back end so we not have 27 different programs that
would be great.
Right? It's just simple. And then here's how you get it. And you want to do our gut repair program. Here's how you do it. If you just want to come in and do the empowered self-care for 2 months while you do the gut repair, you can do it that way. So, and the same thing with Body Balance. Body Balance had, you know, its own separate pages and still does. And then we had ERC and it's like, I can't manage all these programs. My team is like driving me crazy, which is, you know, part of why some of the emails got crazy. So we're just, it's all going to be in this very simple, elegant structure. So make it easy for everybody to get everything. And you get a whole lot more, you know, in the Empowered Self-Care Lab, you get a whole lot more than you got in just the body balance. You see that. You get everything plus all the nutrition stuff, which nobody ever got except ERC before. So, it's good stuff. And we don't want to overwhelm you, so we're trying to help you to do this. We're going to be doing a live version of the, which we did with you guys in Body Balance last year, but if you want to go through it again, we did it at the beginning of this year, the elimination diet. And we're going to just take you through step by step by step in case you missed that or in case you want to do it again or you just want to do parts of it again. And that'll be probably November-ish. We were first thinking October, but it's a little rushed to really do it right. So we'll do it in November. We have a live event to do on in early.
Was that the same live event you were talking about in December, a two-day retreat?
Two-day retreat. Oh, no, that's for ERC.
Oh, okay.
ERC
okay.
is a two-day. Okay.
She's in another program.
Yeah, she's in ERC as well. Yeah. Yeah. But we are, like all of you guys who did the annual membership for Empowered Self-Care and Nutrition, you're going to get access to this new thing that I'm creating. I always have to create new stuff. It's called Practical Herbal Therapeutics. And it's basically a 12-hour course that I'm going to be dripping out over, it'll be December and January. And I'm going to be going through all the different herbs because you hear me talk about this and talk about that. But I'm going to talk about the practicality of all the herbs that I use, not the 500 and 600 herbs that I learned about when I was doing my herbal certification, because most of those we don't use. They're for like unique situations, right? But I'm going to be teaching this practical herbal class and you guys all have a ticket to it. And the first class, put it on your calendar, is the 12th of I think it's the 12th of December. I'll have to look for sure. And we're going to do 4 hours the first day, and it's going to be in my kitchen. It's going to be on a Saturday. Let me see. I think it's the, Yeah, the 12th. Yep, from 11 to 3 Central Time. So put that on your calendar, because I'm going to be doing this very differently than most of the herbal trainings I've ever done, in that I'm going to be showing you, not showing you this beautiful herb in the garden, like, and then you go like, how do I find this? Where do I get it? It's going to be very practical where you can get them, how you can use them, how you can use them in making food, how you can use them in pizza crusts, and how you can use them in elixirs, and how you can use them in desserts, and how you can actually use these. And how do you determine which ones you need? So I'm excited about it. It's going to be really fun. And you guys all get it as a bonus. So the ones that did the year, the annual. So I'm excited.
I didn't listen to that video because I had plans and I couldn't. So I don't know what my bonuses are. And they're not listed anywhere, like on a piece of paper, or you got these bonuses, or how do I know what those are?
They're in the site. It's all there.
I've had a problem with the site, as you know, because things would disappear and come back, and Christine had to fix it.
Yeah, write to Christina and just ask her if she can send you the link to that replay, because the replay's up. I don't know where. Somewhere.
The link
to the replay when I talked about what it was. Plus next.
Oh, yeah,
it was a good call too. It was a lot of great information too. So, okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, so who's next? And hi, David. We'll go to CJ, and then to Sharon, and then to you. And that's the order you guys came in. Oh, and Denise just joined us too. So then Denise. Okay, so CJ, how can I support you? Hello, are you there, CJ? I can't unmute you, so, and I can't see you, so I don't know if
I'm sorry, baby. Sorry, here I am. Here
there
I am.
You are.
Can you hear me now?
I can.
Okay, sorry. I'm feeling like I might need a magnesium supplement.
Okay.
And I just read and hear a lot about magnesium, and some of the things they say that you can be sure. Symptoms. I'm having some symptoms that I'm hearing about. So I'm just wondering. And then I read an article. There are different forms of magnesium. So you want to be careful to get the right one for yourself. Like there's a magnesium sulfate. There's a magnesium.
Yeah.
Something and a yeah. So I was just wondering. And then I had talked to my coach about being tested to see if I was low, and she said that wasn't normally something.
Yeah, it's expensive to test for magnesium, and we usually go by symptoms. So a couple of things. If you go into, you're an ERC, so go into your Biochanic, and there should be a list of all these assessments you can take. There's actually a magnesium assessment in there. So just go in there and answer the questions to that, and that'll give you a score, right, to see. Do you wake up in the middle of the night with cramps in your legs or hands or feet or toes? Yeah.
No, I have neuropathy pretty bad. But the other thing is I have the numbing going down the arms and sort of like the tingling effect, arms and hands.
Okay.
So
I'm going to send you where you can find a ton of information about magnesium, and even a presentation I did about magnesium on the ERC site. And I'll just give you a quick summary of the different types, but I talk about the different types in there as well. Citrate, if you have a tendency to have constipation, loose tight stools, you know, not frequent bowel movements, then the citrate form might be a good form. If you have a tendency towards diarrhea or loose stools, don't use the citrate form because it can make you have more bowel movements. Glycinate tends to be a good one if you have the tendency towards the looser stools, but also if you have a tendency towards blood sugar issues, right? So glycinate can be helpful. There's other forms. There's oxide, which is even more explosive for diarrhea than, you know, if somebody's really constipated, we have them take an oxide form and it really cleans them out. But typically, I mean, knowing what I know about you and, you know, your blood sugar issues and all that, I would say magnesium glycinate would probably be your best bet.
Okay.
And starting
with
right. like 400 to 500 milligrams a day.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
And then on the site, if you go on to the same page I was telling Lynn about, if you click on where it says nutrition, and like I said, I'm going to be reorganizing things based on feedback to make it easier to find things. But at the bottom of that page is nutrients, food and food related to nutrients. And it will say vitamins and minerals. So go to the one that says minerals. There's a general mineral presentation. And then if you keep going with that, there's like specialty. There's zinc, there's magnesium, there's iodine, and there may be and calcium. I think there's four of them. You can learn more about it there. Okay?
Oh, great.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. So Sharon, did you have, or did we do you already? No. No, we did your celebrations. Yeah. Yes. So Sharon.
Okay. I have a few things on my list here.
Okay.
I've been getting palpitations frequently throughout the day and night.
Have you had anybody do a cardiac exam?
I've spoken to my doctor and she has sent a requisition to the hospital to set me up with a Holter monitor.
Okay. Find out. How long ago did this start?
A few months back.
And do you recall what was happening at the time? Were there any exposures, stressors, change in diet, change in supplement, change in bowel habits?
No, all of that's been quite consistent.
All of it's been consistent. And what, to just go back to the first time you noticed it, like what was happening at the time?
That'd be about 3 or 4 months ago. So that'd be by June. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's always COVID around, but by June, things were starting to open up here. I can't say that I've been overly stressed over the COVID. I'm cautious, but I'm not paranoid over it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, no, other than that, I can't think of anything.
And then when you were, when did you notice it? Were you in the middle of activity? Were you resting? Were you in bed?
I can get it anytime. I can be like laying down reading and I get them or.
How long does it last for?
Just a flutter.
It's a flutter.
Sometimes I'll get one and then 10 minutes or just a couple minutes later, I'll get again. But typically it's more space than that.
More space. How many times a day would you estimate that you're getting it?
Probably more than 12, you know, so it's.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Well, I certainly recommend that you have, you know, whether it's a Holter monitor, an echo, some sort of an evaluation of your heart. Check your blood pressure. That's something you probably can do on yourself to see if when you get it, is your blood pressure high or is it exceptionally low? Because sometimes the heart will start to, you know, jump in when the blood pressure drops too much and it's trying to get it back up. So see if there's an association with blood pressure. You said it's not related to postural, you know, standing up, laying down, it could be laying down. and then it could be, you know, the nutrients like electrolyte imbalances. So you may want to get your electrolytes tested. I know you said you do get the cramping in the night and magnesium wasn't helping it. Are you still taking all the magnesium you were taking?
I am. What has helped the most is I was deficient in the B vitamins, and my naturopath sometimes gives me a B vitamin shot injection, and it's got quite a range of Bs in it. And I had a list of them, but I don't have it in front of me at the moment.
Okay. And have you been getting that fairly regularly or just every few months? Or
No, I've had it more frequently than that. And that seems to help the most.
That helps to calm it down.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, so definitely checking it out to find out what that is. It doesn't sound like magnesium because you're taking so much magnesium. Either the magnesium isn't getting in, it may not be in the right form, I know we've talked about this before. I don't remember if you switched to a liquid or tried a liquid magnesium to see if that made a difference.
No, I haven't.
So that might
But I have been going back at night and using magnesium gel.
Yeah. So here's something to try. Like, we're always experimenting on ourselves to see what might work. You have the magnesium gel, keep it handy. And if you have that issue with the palpitation, see if rubbing it over your chest makes a difference.
Okay.
The other thing is hawthorn berry is a really nice herb for strengthening the heart and sometimes helps with palpitations. So that might be something to look at. You can do hawthorn berry as a tincture. You can do it as a powdered extract. You can actually get the berries and soak them, and they should be probably cooked because I think they have some toxic properties if they're not. But you can actually get the berries and do it that way. But tincture is probably the easiest because you get it in there, it goes under your tongue and gets into your system, and see if that makes a difference in terms of the frequency, the intensity, or if it has any power in the moment for helping.
And you're saying that's for the muscle.
Mm-hmm. For the
palpitations.
For the palpitations.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
And just see if it has any, you know, in the moment kind of an effect. It may be more of a cumulative type of an effect.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. I had a couple of things.
Yeah.
Dr. Rita Murray, not to interrupt, could I say something, because I have 3 leaky heart valves and I get chest pain and all, and can you see this? This is a hawthorn berry young shoots that I take, and it stops the chest pain and it really helps me.
What's the brand on that? I can't really see it very well. Hawthorn.
Okay. I gotta put my glasses on. It's GEMMO, English Hawthorn Young Shoots by Bio. Ron.
Oh, but boron, B-O-R-I.
Boron, yeah, I can't see it.
It's a homeopathic. So yeah, that's
how. Yeah, and it really helps me a lot.
Great. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. It's certainly, consistent. And, you know, given it's homeopathic, it's probably not going to, you know, it doesn't have any risk associated with it, really. Okay, great. Thank you.
My naturopath feels that some of what's held me back in making progress, because I know some days I feel kind of frustrated. I've been following your program for 2 years and I'm quite faithful to the diet. I'm trying to do everything I can, but I just don't seem to be making the progress. And then my naturopath suggested seeing somebody, and she gave me a name about talking about childhood traumas or, you know, like something that's going on from your childhood.
Right.
And I hadn't done anything about that. And then I watched your, the replay of your interview with Debbie Silber talking about betrayal. And I didn't relate to the betrayal part, but I just, when she was listing the symptoms, you know, the physical, the mental, the emotional, and I was just ticking all these things off. So I am going to follow up on my doctor's suggestion. Yeah.
That's great. We have, I've seen tremendous results with that. I know Laura Fine and Kimberly Ward, who I've brought in a few times to speak, they specialize in that kind of stuff. And the kinds of things we see, like things get buried in your system and you may not even know, you know, emotionally or, you know, cognitively, you're not aware, but they're playing out in your tissues. And they're sabotaging you. And especially like if it is something related to the heart, right? Metaphorically, right? That's anger, betrayal, defeat, deceit, you know, that kind of stuff. So I'm really glad that you're looking into that.
And you said Laura Fine?
Yeah, Laura Fine.
F-I-N-E?
F-I-N-E, yes. And there.
And who was that?
She works with Kimberly Ward. And Kimberly Ward's been trained in a lot of the trauma. That's what she's been trained in, and Laura Fine does, you know, she combines it with other things as well. And they work together at tehtherapy.com. And they have group classes as well as they have one-on-one work.
Okay. And then just two quickies. You and somebody else made reference to a DO this morning. What is that?
DO is a doctor of osteopathy.
Okay.
Osteopath. In olden days, osteopaths were very different than MDs, and at one point MDs swallowed them up and their training is very similar, but ODs tend to be more holistic in their orientation. And they, you know, like I said, in the olden days, they used to do a lot of hands-on manipulation. I don't know that a lot of the more modern osteopaths do, but if you get an old osteopath that's been around a while, they're going to get their hands on you and help you with manipulation and, you know, finding those connections to the physical body as well as the biochemical and the rest.
Okay. And I try to stick quite close to the sweet spot.
Yeah.
And with the Empowered Lab, we now have access to all of your cookbooks, and you've got the one on desserts, and I'm afraid of even using dates anymore.
I know.
And I noticed quite a few of your recipes.
That recipe book is not a low glycemic one, but here's how I do it. I'm going to put another, let me make a note to myself to put, I have this recipe book that I put together based on recipes I'd done in my book, my Unstoppable Health book. And so I'll put that in there. But I basically teach a way to substitute for dates. So many of the recipes in that book, I have created recipes without the dates. And so what I do is I do some chia gel. I soak the chia and then I kind of use an approximately equivalent. So if it's like 5 dates, it might take up this much space, use that much chia, and then add some either stevia or lohan or some sort of sweetener to get that, and I substitute it. So in that recipe guide, one of my favorites is the kale brownies. And some of these are actually on my blog where I've substituted them. And some of them are actually in Sweet Spot, substitutions for some of those recipes. But yeah, I guess I should put a little disclaimer for those in Sweet Spot to be careful, because there's a fair amount of dates in that book. But I'm trying to remember where else I put that. Here's how to do it for dates. It's probably in the Vital Kitchen shows somewhere. It's like, oh, here's how you substitute. And I know recently all the for the last X number of years, many years, all the Vital Kitchen show ones are made for low glycemic. But maybe some of the older ones aren't. But yeah. Yeah.
So are you going to send us an email with that? Or tell us where we could find that substitution?
Let me just do that right now. I'll just find that book and put it here, and then I'll just put it on the page with all the recipe guides.
Whenever I see these,
I think it's in the ice cream book. It's in the ice. Let me pull it up. I think it's in the ice cream book that we put the substitution chart. Let me find it. I'm pretty sure I did that. Okay. Oops, that's my, where is it? All right, so we'll go into Unstoppable, right? I just go right into the Body Freedom Nutrition. And if we go down to where the recipe books are, I'll still put that book in there. I just will give you this for now. It would be with the meal planning recipe. Here we go. In the keto-friendly ice cream book, if we scroll towards the back, I think we, here we go. Sugar options. Why is this keep? Thyroid support ice cream, Mexican ice cream, chocolate ice cream, low glycemic sweetener options. And then, yeah. So for those with sensitive blood sugars, you can use a low glycemic substitute for the dates and raisins that are used in many recipes. Use a quarter cup to a half a cup of chia gel, depending on the recipe, sweetened to your desired level of sweetness with one of the following. And then I have a whole bunch of stuff on stevia, lohan, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. I'll give you this in the chat right now, but it's right there on the page. Chat. Okay, there we go.
Can everybody see that? Mm-hmm. All right. Any other questions before we go to, I think David is next, right?
Yeah. No, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for your help.
You're welcome. David, hi.
Hi. Well, my celebration is over a very stressful few months. I managed to not need the afternoon naps.
Wow.
Even though my nighttime sleep was alternating between 5 hours and 7 hours with the occasional 10 hours catch up.
That's great. And the fact that you're getting some other, because you used to have just that very, you didn't get enough sleep. So you're getting more sleep, but you're also not needing the naps as well. So there's something balanced in there.
I wasn't getting the more sleep and I wasn't needing the naps. That was kind of interesting.
That's kind of neat. Now don't keep it up, because then you put yourself out, right? Right. I don't need the sleep and I don't need the naps. Let's just keep going with that. And then you end up back in the same situation. Yeah.
The cause of the stress has passed away, literally. My mom passed away last Saturday.
Oh, I'm sorry.
She was in the hospital a third of her last 2 months. We managed to pull her out against medical advice and have her at home to pass away, which was her deepest wish.
Yeah.
But at that point, the dialysis had left her not able to communicate.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. The week or so before that, she fell and broke her hip. You know, typical Western sequence of events that they didn't take care of X, Y, and Z. So then she had a momentary lapse in the bathroom, and then we're taking her for a hip replacement. And then they keep her for 10 days. But hip replacement home in 10 days was just unbelievable.
Yeah. But how old was your mom?
92. Yeah. So that's awesome. Long life. Her family was with her. We've been taking care of her since the downhill slide started in June. And she was home alone, independent. And I was dropping in for a couple hours every few days.
Awesome. And you know, it's interesting. So no matter what age they are, no matter how sickly and how much it's expected, is nothing prepares you for the feeling when they pass. So,
Well, my dad passed 15 years ago and I was devastated for 2 years. Yeah. But that led to my getting my health fixed. You know, I turned inward and just started recognizing what was going on inside me, and that I can't help others if I don't take care of myself first.
Right, exactly.
While my mom was in with the hip replacement, I conned a nurse into ordering a free T3 test. Getting a reverse T3 was just, I thought that was far too out of bounds. So that test result came back, and she was seen by an endocrinologist, and they lowered her dose of levothyroxine. Another hospital doesn't have levothyroxine on their formulary. So in her first trip to the hospital to start kidney, when her kidney failed, she came home incomprehensible for 5 days until her level of thyroxine kicked back in.
I'm shocked by some of these things I hear.
It's just incomprehensible that she wasn't getting her thyroid medicine. Now, she's on the levothyroxine by her GP, and they've been following her TSH. I got her free T3 tested. I got one result back the day after she broke her hip. The result was available the day before, which would have warned me. It was 1.8 for her free T3. Wow. In the hospital, after her hip surgery, it was 0.98 for her free T3. And the endocrinologist lowered her levothyroxine dose. Yeah, you're looking exactly like I was feeling. And
basic endocrinology. That's basic, like TSH goes up, you increase the dose. TSH goes
down. She ordered a free T4 test and treated her based on that. Her free T4 was just above the bottom. One interesting thing is that three different labs for free T3, one has a minimum of 2.0, one has a minimum of 2.5, and another one has a minimum of 3.0.
Well, that one is a functional, that's the lab to use.
Well, that was the one that the home health sent their stuff to, not Quest.
And that's, you said that that was for the free T3.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good lab to use because that's where the low end of the optimal range is 3.0.
Yeah, that's what I noticed. And then I saw 0.98. I was like wanting to go to the hospital and hand her my T3 pills. But, yeah. That's a longer term thing than when dialysis is taking your brain away. So we met with the kidney doctor and then she passed 2 days later. That kind of thing. Like finally the kidney doctor like pays attention to her case. Too late. We were in the process of trying to change kidney doctor and not letting him know for a month. And the new kidney doctor, just his latency on returning a message was 2 days. So 2 days for this, then wait for a TB test. Oops, the TB test didn't get read because she broke her hip. Oh, let's get another TB test started. And the previous TB test was with that functional lab, and it turns out they weren't equipped to do it as a blood test. So she didn't change kidney doctor. It's just a whole litany.
Yeah, everything you're saying is, and you're educated, you're well educated. What about somebody who's, being cared for in this way that doesn't have a son that can actually step in and support? And that's why I am so passionate, and that's why I'm doing this lab, and that's why I'm doing these programs, is because I want you guys to know how to talk to people and know how to not get in those situations.
Well, at least my sister and I were co-efforts in this. And on her last, typical at that hospital, her last trip in, she was supposed to get 2 units of blood and come home. We had her there by 6 a.m. At 6 p.m., they hadn't started the second unit of blood. So we just told them that we're going to bring her home against medical advice. The nurse, didn't know she was coming from home. She thought she was from a nursing home. And three other things the nurse had wrong. So we talked to the charge nurse. I tried to get... I called the hospital and asked the ombudsman. And then I got forwarded to an administrator, and they did get the blood started. But it all ended up in her arm instead of in her. She went in with flabby arms, which was unusual for her, but it was just skin and bones. She came home with bloated arms, purple. So she figured, I'm guessing they figured she was a nursing home, and they roughed her around by the arms to move her between gurneys and beds or something, and broke all her blood vessels.
It's very sad. The state of our health, our so-called healthcare system, our medical treatment system, is bad. And every time I hear stories like this, it's worse than I imagined.
Yeah, we had sent her to a different hospital for the hip replacement, but then when the we tried to get non-urgent transport for the blood transfusion. And then she was so bad in the morning after kidney that we rushed it, called 911. They came and then said, we can only take her to that horrible hospital. And so there it went.
Well, I'm sorry you had to go through that experience. But,
the upside is that in the end, we managed to find a hospice company where the owner lived nearby. She came by within the hour on Friday. She got us all set up, all the paperwork and everything done within an hour. Nice. She came and gave her own supply of morphine and then replaced that when the comfort kit arrived later. Nice. Got the doctor's orders, and by 6 p.m. the same day, she was on hospice. She slept comfortably through the night and then woke up in pain. We had everything, got her all comfortable, family was there, and then she passed away. So
she had a good last 24 hours.
As best we could.
Yeah.
I expected her to live a couple more days, but in retrospect, it's like, Coming back to me, I had a second episode of what might be called heart palpitations, but that's a vague term that I don't understand. It was 11 p.m. My colleagues in a business meeting were discussing things heatedly, and I was tired. I was laying down, and my heart rate went up. So I turned on my Apple Watch, and it was 135.
Ooh.
The only provocation was listening to other people having this thing, and it just stayed up.
Did you try things like meditation, heart math, things to calm yourself down?
So that was the second time. The first time I was at the gym, and it had been 10 minutes or so after my workout, and I'm just kind of walking around, cooling down. And then my heart rate went up, and it just stayed up. It's like, okay, I sit down, I breathe deep, and I just wait, and I relax. So this is two times I've had my heart rate go up. I counted that one by hand at about 140.
How long did it take to go back down?
Like 5 minutes plus.
Minutes.
When I exercise and I get my heart rate up to 110 or whatever, it comes back down to 80 within like a minute.
Yeah.
I did a 2.5 minute plank yesterday. So, and my heart rate got up to like 107. So yeah. In general, I seem to have good heart health, but there's just this. Yeah.
So 135 to 140 is pretty high.
Things
to look at. I mean, you certainly do want to get something checked out. I know you don't have a very good feeling about the medical system at this point, given what's
happened. Have you heard of a functional cardiologist?
Consultation. Dr. Kahn, K-A-H-N, Dr. Joel Kahn. He's up in Michigan. And he is a functional cardiologist.
I have one nearby that I could see in person, is that a little bit better?
Well, you know, to get it, to get examined, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Doctor mentioned that she saw a functional cardiologist.
Then absolutely, I would do that over going to a conventional, right? Because they'll go, yeah, let's put some stents in you. Here's some drugs, right? You don't, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I just kind of want to know what's going on.
What's going on? If there's anything to be concerned about, it could be a magnesium deficiency. It could be an electrolyte imbalance.
I take 800 to 1200 magnesium most days.
Do you take potassium? Do you have a balance? Because sometimes the balance between...
Oh, okay. That's good to know. I've had bad issues with potassium. Usually I get constipated, but I have that constipation under control now. So I have the liquid potassium on hand.
You can give it a try. Hawthorn, like we were just saying.
I'd never heard of that before.
Hawthorn berry is awesome. Look into it.
Is that a thing you do over time and just keep it in your body or...
Yeah, it's an herb. So it has, it's just a strengthener, a cardiac tonifying agent. And it also has some effects on liver detox as well. So it's, you know, a double type of thing. Hetty recommended sounds like it's a homeopathic type of hawthorn berry. So that's certainly those sorts of things to give a try to. But you always want to find out if there's something, you know, structurally going on with your heart.
Yeah.
So we have the heart and we have the vessels that come into the heart from all different directions, right? And then goes out. We measure blood pressure in the arms and we measure the pulse at the wrist. So if that ever happens again, I want you to measure both wrists to see and the carotids to see if there's any difference because they should all be fairly the same, you know, within 5-8 points at the moment.
Well, I could just feel it in my chest.
Right. But I want you to find out, is there a blockage? And it could be a muscular thing. It could be your thoracic outlet. It could be these pect muscles that go over and crush the, you know, the vessels and the nerves that come out and go through that area. It could be a thoracic outlet. It could be a structural thing. I mean, the fact that it happened one time after exercise, maybe tweaked or, you know, it lifted too heavy or something. And the second time was at night. Maybe you were just tensing everything because, right, the scalene muscle, right? So test all of those areas to see, right, if there's an issue. an osteopath or a chiropractor better could do a test to see if there is a thoracic outlet musculoskeletal type thing going on. There's specific things. We have you do arms back, turn your head this way, turn your head that way, take a deep breath and see if you lose sensation in those arms. And usually people have, you know, numbness, tingling issues that we check out thoracic outlet, but it could very well be a blood supply thing. So if your heart is trying to get through, you know, some sort of blockage, basically, right, a tightening in an area, then it's going to pump harder. It's going to, the rate is going to go up. So I would check your blood pressure at the same time too, if you have a blood pressure cuff, both sides.
Yeah. Okay.
Both sides, not just one side.
All right. Did you hear about the Nature Thyroid recall?
I just heard about that yesterday. Somebody told me. What happened? Why did they recall it?
Low potency, as low as 87% potent. So I just continued taking it until I realized I had some armor on hand. WP thyroid came from the same batch.
So you could, so but basically it's not that there's some sort of toxic in it.
Right.
You could take it, you could just take more. You just have to be careful.
You don't, much it's, more. Right. They said as little as 87%. So I didn't want to overdose. So I just stayed on the same dose and realized that it was small. I got separated from my T3 supplement, my T3 SR capsules, which are 30. Right. I take 90 of the natural. So I got separated from my T3 and just quit taking it, got a blood test, and my free T3 had not really dropped for not taking the T3.
Well, that means the conversion is doing better, right? So if you were still taking the armor, which still has a little bit of T3 in it, but it wasn't enough before, it means you're probably converting better.
I was thinking about changing to Tyrosin, and my doctor said, if you take the armor, it's got T4, T3, T1, and T2 in small amounts. I never heard of T1 and T2.
Because it used to have gluten in it.
Gluten,
corn, other excipients. So really check that carefully.
Well, that's why I changed the Nature Thyroid. The armor has many more ingredients. It claims, without really claiming to be gluten-free.
Right.
So it's one of those things. Doing fine on it.
Any other questions before I move on to Denise was here. No,
thank you.
Denise is gone. And then somebody else came in. Who came in? Oh, there. Hi. Denise Young. I was thinking the other Denise. So when you opened your lineup, I'm like, it's a different Denise. And I was thinking
Denise. Do you need to talk to another Denise first?
No. You're the Denise. It was just you before you didn't have your picture on, and I had in my brain a picture of the other Denise. And then I saw you. I'm like, is that?
Okay, got it. Yeah, I hope to get my walker to sit on. I just wanted to mention to David, I'm really sorry about the loss of your mother. And I just wonder about the anger about your heart. If it could just be that unresolved anger, which is very understandable that that's there. But maybe just if you have some time and maybe even assistance processing that anger, even journaling can help you to work through that. It could affect your heart rate.
That's a great point, Denise, and I appreciate you saying that, because I could see there would be a lot of anger, because I have a lot of anger for you right now.
Sure.
It just really angers me when I hear those stories, so I can only imagine, you know, you're going through it, and you peacefully, she died at home, but there's still like, what if, right? There's always that what if, and it's really, it's pull on your own body.
So thank you for that, Denise. You probably gave me the clue as to why I'm finding alternatives to grieving. I'm like diving into all kinds of things to not suffer the grieving.
And the only way out of grief is through grief. Right. Yeah. And there's the process you go through, and anger is one of the stages, of course, of grief, but it doesn't magically go away because you distract yourself with other activities, unfortunately, and it goes away by feeling it, just like most negative emotions that we try to get rid of with ice cream or whatever else, they don't really go away. They just get buried and then they come out again and again. So great point, Denise. Thank you.
Thank you.
One of the things that has helped me the most is writing letters like to my mother, whoever I've lost, but also in that case, writing the letter to the doctor, you know, and just obviously you're not going to give it to him, but just writing it, just getting it out.
Yep.
And then you're going to have to, at some point, choose to forgive. And
I know that's the hard part, but it really makes a difference.
It will free you a lot. Yeah. But my mother, I just had to make the decision to put her on hospice today. She's in inpatient. Yeah. She's 94. So I hurt for you in, you know, on several levels. But anyway, I do need to, I know we don't have a lot of time, so I have a couple of quick questions.
Sure.
My celebration is, by God's grace, I'm surviving. This has been a very difficult season. My mother was in the nursing home, locked in. I mean, I couldn't have access to her even. But now my leg is infected, so I can't go and be with her. But I've had stenosis, lumbar stenosis. It developed about 6 months ago. It's affecting my walking. I've got drop foot. Was going to have surgery a couple of weeks ago, but 2 weeks before the surgery, we found a little tiny cancer on my right shin, which is the leg that's the problem. Mm-hmm. Had it removed and it got infected. It's been infected for a month. I've been on Augmentin. It hasn't taken care of the problem yet. Just put some mupirocin, topical. What is it? Okay. Mupirocin or something like that. That seems to be helping a little bit. It's for staff. But anyway.
Okay, so a couple of things. I'll let you ask your question because my mind is racing.
My question is, so I've been on Augmentin about 7 days now. It still has a long way to go to heal. They told me that places on your leg are hard to heal anyway. It was a tiny cancer, but they had to do like a 3-inch incision right down my shin bone. Okay, so I talked to Lynn Johnson. She recommended that I order a herbal tincture called CSA. It's a combination of, it's like Sita Acuta. I'm just saying these words. I don't know if you'll be familiar with them. It's okay if you're not. And another one is Cryptolepsis or something like that.
Yeah,
and the other one is something, Cordifolia. It's like, anyway, they're herbs. And my question, it's okay if you don't know the answer to this,
but
I would ask you anyway, is if it's okay to take this herb along with the Augmentin. I hated to take the Augmentin. I hate antibiotics.
Yeah, generally speaking, it'll just potentiate it. So I would say I've never seen anybody have a problem with taking a natural antimicrobial supplement along with it. In fact, it usually will speed up the process.
Okay, that's what I'm
hoping. You know, especially since it's going very slowly. The other thing is, and I don't know, you know, sometimes they're really, really careful about telling you not to put anything topically on it.
Uh-huh.
But and if it's a staph infection, then one of the things that works beautifully is Oregon grapefruit. And you can generally get the little roots. You can get the fresh herb. Mountain Rose Herbs has it, or probably get it at a health food store. You're going to boil it up for an hour or so to, you know, and get a really potent liquid. And then with sterile gauze, right, you're just going to take sterile gauze and soak it with that and put it on and then cover it. I've had colleagues who've worked with people with like persistent month after month after month staph infections,
uh-huh,
where they got relief within a few days of using the Oregon grape. And so you'd need to keep doing it. So you just have to be careful that you don't, that it doesn't make you don't want to contaminate the brew. So if you boil up a pot of this stuff, you want to strain it, but you would want to strain it into some kind of, you know, glass jar that you've just run through the dishwasher that's actually, you know, sterile with the gauze I could put it in a strainer with the gauze to strain it out so you get all the pieces out. Because the last thing you want to do is risk having little pieces and then that gets into the infected area. And then you basically pour some of that liquid out and put it on the gauze, wrap it, and then you leave it there for a few hours. You can wrap it then with, you know, with bandage kind of thing over a tape, you know, water resistant sterile tape. And then after a few hours, you take it off and you do it again, right? You do it again.
Oh, right. Keep doing it.
Yes. But you don't ever put the gauze back in. And I know this sounds obvious, but don't ever put the gauze back in.
Yeah, sure.
Into the solution. And it's better not to put even the sterile gauze into the solution. It's better to pour it out
right.
to a smaller container, use that, then toss that and start again.
Okay. Well, all right. If it doesn't do anything soon, I will try that. But I think the mupirocin seems to be helping some. Part of the problem is for a month, I've had to stay off of it with my leg propped. And so when I walk, then it opens up and I have to walk. I mean, I have to be on my feet 30 minutes just fixing my meal.
Yeah.
And with my osteoporosis, I have advanced osteoporosis. And so the not walking is complicating things. And of course, then going back to the stenosis, you know, I had built up my muscles and now I've lost that. And it is just crazy. It's
just crazy.
Yeah.
With the stenosis, do you know what's causing it? Are there osteophytes,
it's lumbar and it's, I have spondylolisthesis just grade one at L4 and L5. Mm-hmm. And so I had been doing fine I've had it a couple of years. It was not a problem, but I was walking in the neighborhood because we couldn't go to the gym, you know, with the shutdown. And so it's kind of hilly and somehow it
aggravated it. I'm going to make a suggestion. You can take this or not, but I've been trained in a process called the Cox flexion distraction technique. And it is phenomenal for stenosis. If you can find a practitioner in your area, COX flexion, FLEXION, uh-huh. distraction. And, you know, you try it. If it doesn't work within a couple of weeks, it's not going to. You should be at least 50% improved within a couple of weeks.
Wow.
I've done that technique on people with stenosis, with herniated discs, with, you know, have previous back surgery, with phenomenal, phenomenal success.
Wow.
Special table. And there's a whole process. So if you go to the website, you just look up on Google. Flexion distraction, look for a certified practitioner or just a trained practitioner in your area. Okay. And you can also go to your yellow pages, if they even exist anymore, you can go to chiropractor.
I know how to go on. Cause yeah. I feel like I've developed it in my arm now also. And I'm going to see my doctor today to see if I need an MRI, but I'm so thankful that it didn't have that. I was going to have that surgery. I'm thankful that I didn't do it because I'm afraid that whatever that infection, the bacteria would have gotten into that area in my back. And because it's Staph aureus and it's also enterococcus.
Yeah. And the cryptolepsis, I don't know. I didn't capture the other names, but I know cryptolepsis is phenomenal with both of those.
Okay.
So I would take that tincture for sure. I don't know if you can put that in. It may be way too painful to put an alcohol-based tincture on the wound, but.
I'm just going to try taking it orally. See how it does. But the other thing is, I've got so many things, but I'm just going to bring up one other because I think maybe this can be quick. I have been on B12 for a long time, but my different tests are like NutriVal shows that my B12 is very, very low. I've just tried different things. I even tried vitamin B infusions. I tried five different ones, but something was breaking me out, so I had to stop. And so I had never had injections until a couple of weeks ago. I just went ahead and had an injection. The pharmacist didn't even know what was in it, but he couldn't tell me, but you know, what form. But anyway, I had that. And so Lynn suggested a patch. I have read mixed reviews on the patches, but I didn't know if you had any other ideas. I know that my body's not making acid, so I guess that's probably part of the problem.
Okay, so there's a few things with that, but it just reminded me too to go back to one other thing. Now, B12. Before you said the B12, I was thinking of something related to your leg.
Mm-hmm. I'm working on building my immune system too. Back.
Oh yeah. So when you said infusions, can you get infusions of C?
This was not high C.
High dose C can knock that infection out in 48 hours.
Wow.
In IV, right? So, and I'm talking like 20 to 30 grams across a 24-hour period, which is not that high when even.
Well, across a 24-hour, that means I'd have to be hooked up to an IV during that
time. Well, you get it done and then you go back and do it again, or you can get it all at the same time. But the other thing is liposomal vitamin C can have similar results, right? So you get liposomal vitamin C and you can take like 5 or 6 grams every few hours of that.
Okay, let me grab something that I've got and see if this is, it's Quicksilver.
Yep.
Liposomal vitamin C.
Yep.
It's 1,000. So you're saying if I take 5,000.
5,000 four times a day, you can get a similar effect to the IV. It's expensive to do, but it's less expensive than getting an IV, right?
Yeah, it's easier too.
It's a lot easier. So give it a try.
Right in front of me.
Give it a try.
Okay, I'll do that.
And if you can remember to do it, even better would be just like to take a gram every hour because you're constantly giving yourself more.
Yeah, I can do that. Or 1 gram per hour for until I get in what? How many?
Well, yeah, maybe you want to do 2 grams an hour because you're not going to be up for 24 hours, right? So 2 grams an hour for 12 hours, half a day.
Okay, I don't have enough here to do
that.
Yeah,
you may have to order more. So I said
I've got Mercola's. It's a capsule. It says liposomal, but I read somewhere that it wasn't really a liposomal. I don't know if it says liposomal C, Dr. Mercola. It's a capsule.
Okay, well, do the combination of the two.
Yeah, I'll do that.
You know, and then order some more of the liquid. The liquid, you should always have liposomal C. Okay. It was out of stock for a while at the beginning of all the COVID stuff, but right. I ordered a case of it just to have it around. So if somebody gets sick, that's boom, boom, boom. We're going to get them in that in them right away.
Yeah. Okay, right. Okay. So on the B12, any thoughts on that?
Oh, on the B12. Sorry, I got distracted back to that. Okay. So, you know, when you don't absorb it, it usually means the form, right? As long as you're taking enough. So patches can work well. It just depends. I've seen phenomenal results with people having like within 2 hours, B12 symptoms going away. Like
with patches?
With patches, right? So you want to make sure you get a patch that doesn't have folic acid in it. It can have folate in it, but not folic acid.
Right, I know the difference. Yeah.
And some of them do. So
is it better to get a complex versus just B12?
No, it should be just the B12 because you want a high enough dose, and the complexes will just have a little bit. You can get sublingual. PERQ, PERQUE, has it's 2,000 PERQ little pellet. You just melt it under your tongue, and that's a hydroxy. And you know, I studied with Amy Yasko a while back, and she does a lot of stuff with autistic kids and genetics. And she's like, all forms, all types, all administration routes. So there's even gum, there's the liquids, there's liposomal. So liposomal B12, if you haven't been taking liposomal, that's a good way to get it because it does get in much better. It bypasses the intrinsic factor in the stomach need.
Okay.
So does the sublingual. I find that liquid sublinguals don't tend to work as well as a capsule that melts because you put it in your mouth and then, you know, how much of it do you actually have under your tongue before you just gets mixed with your saliva and you swallow it? Because we're all swallowing very often, right?
A lot of times those sublinguals have sugar in them. And
this particular one with PERQ has xylitol in it. So if you don't have a problem.
Xylitol is a problem for me.
It's a problem for you? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's not a good one. Then stick with the liposomal and the patches.
All right, is there a particular patch that you, company that you like?
There's a couple of them. I think the last time I ordered them, I found them on Amazon. But years ago, I found them on a company called Raw Food World. And they don't have a site anymore, but that's Matt Monarch. Okay. And he has one. And I think on Amazon, let's go see.
I know they've got MD. I've looked up a couple of them. The ones I looked at Amazon were mixed reviews. But I just wonder if you had a particular one you liked.
Yeah, the one I've got, and I still have some left, is from Matt Monarch's site.
So he's Matt, M-A-T?
M-A-T-T-M-O-N-A-R-C-H.
And just look him up, his name. And
he has some good ones.
I'll just look him up. Or you said liposomal B12.
Liposomal. If I were you, I'd probably do both.
But you said the caps.
There's another company called Patch MD that has patches, and they have a lot of different kind of things.
Yeah, that's the one where I saw real mixed reviews. But
that had mixed reviews.
Yeah, but I'll look up Matt Monarch and see what he has. All right, well, that's great.
Good luck with all this.
Real good practical help. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, everybody. We're just at end of time. So I look forward to most of you join the Empowered Self-Care Lab. So we'll see you. You'll get an email and it'll be next Wednesday. We're going to do a kickoff and an orientation just to make sure everybody knows how to find everything. And we're just constantly, that's going to be growing and expanding. And every time I find something that, oh, we'll put that in there. Oh, I have this book. I'll put that in there. So, and then there'll be new content. Like we did last week, we did a talk on Dutch testing. If anybody missed that, that was you were there. Yeah, it was a good test. It was a good call. So I thank you guys so much for being here. Unmute yourself so you can say goodbye. And I used to be able to unmute everybody. Yeah.
Do you know the time of the call on Wednesday next week so I can put it on the calendar?
You can put it on your calendar. I believe it's going to be at 3 p.m. Central. Let me look. I'm in December. Why am I in December? It's only October. The 21st, it was 3 to 5, I believe. Yeah, I think. Might have been 4 to 6. Let me double check with Kim. Kickoff. I think it was 3 to 5 because she's on the Eastern time zone and she might have said 4 to 6, and that's what's getting me confused. So just put it on your calendar for the whole time and then we'll let you know when you get the email, but you should be getting the email. Like either tomorrow or Monday. Well, hopefully tomorrow, because Monday's kind of late. I want to make sure everybody has it in time. Okay?
Thank you.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for being here and for being dedicated to your health. And my heart goes out to you, David. And when I hear stories like that, it just empowers me to be more passionate about what I do and why I do it, even though it's a lot of work. But everybody needs to understand, right? So that you can be a good advocate for yourself, but also for your loved ones.
I'm now working in healthcare, so I can actually make a difference too.
You're working in healthcare? What are you doing?
Technology.
Okay, good. Well, it's contributing. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, awesome. Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.